This is the fifth and final part in a five-part interview series with Ilya Maslyansky on Russian internet manipulation. In this segment, we will be discussing Ilya's final thoughts on the issue and his advice to listeners.
You began your thesis by talking about how certain theorists of democratization have different stances on the internet's potential to spread democracy, and these stances can roughly be divided between cyber-optimists and cyber-pessimists. With all that you've learned and all that's happened this year, do you say that you're a cyber-optimist or a cyber-pessimist?
That's a good question, and again, a big one, with giving everything that's happened and everything that I've been talking about. Before I sort of address your question head on, I would like to, address one more issue, or rather one more aspect of the Russian system, as I would call it, the Russian system of government. So there is political scientist Lilia Shevtsova, and she argues that the Russian system has time and again surprised many political analysts and commentators by being extraordinarily resilient and showing the capability to create solutions to various challenges while at the same time preserving its very essence. And, Shevtsova here is talking about the transition, from the Soviet governing system to modern, Russian Federation, managed democracy, as they call it, or, called democracy with Russian characteristics. And in the case of the Kremlin's changing relationship to the internet and social media between 2011 and 2015, the political status quo has once again proved itself to be a highly, highly flexible system that is able to respond to the new and changing ways of political participation in ways that allow it to continue to hold the reins of power. Following the 2011 Duma election protests that were organized with the use of horizontal means, namely the internet and social media, the authorities in Russia have used three methods of bringing the country's national cyberspace under its uncontested form. As I talked about, from the implementation of draconian internet laws, to directly acquiring indirect control of news and social media websites, to being able to actively engage with the opposition online in a highly covert and sophisticated manner, Russia's ruling elite exemplifies the ability of authoritarians to learn and adapt to the challenges of a constantly changing political reality, where the opposition has the ability to facilitate leaderless coordination and organize massive demonstrations by purely horizontal means. So, given all of this, I believe it is quite difficult to remain a cyber-optimist. It's been a couple months since I finished my senior thesis and haven't been actively doing this research, but, I've been reading every now and then on what's been happening in this particular front, and, with the banning of LinkedIn for good, essentially a month ago, with United Russia seizing an electoral majority in the lower house of the parliament yet again, and the 2018 presidential election approaching, I believe that I would, again, out of the two, within this dichotomy, I would more closely align myself with the cyber-pessimists, because off the top of my head, I cannot think of a way for the opposition to mobilize themselves in ways that will really undermine the regime and change things. If anything, the fact that the opposition did mobilize itself using horizontal means back in 2011 allowed the regime to learn from its mistake and to learn what was happening on the ground at its doorstep, and to improve, enhance, and make its internet control mechanisms even more sophisticated. So it's almost like you have, some kind of wicked game here. No matter what the opposition comes up with, the regime learns from it and improves based on that. So, now it's a question if the opposition can somehow outsmart the regime? I don't know. And this is why I think a very important avenue for future research, not just for Russia, but for other post-Soviet states or for states where internet freedom is dwindling, I believe that an important avenue for future research lies in exploring how the opposition can mobilize itself and bring about real qualitative change, or a complete change in regime, precisely under the circumstances of dwindling internet freedom, and in countries and societies where similar events that happened in Russia between 2011 and 2015, which is the time period that I analyze, happened too. This is what we need to be looking at right now as you know, sort of a global community of scholars and journalists and essentially anybody who is interested in it and anybody who cares about freedom of expression, internet freedom, and democracy. This is where we should be looking.
I think you're quite right in that we should continue research into empowering ways to maintain democratic freedoms, the freedom of speech, and so on and so forth. So in that vein, I was wondering for our listeners, do you have any books or resources that you recommend to our audience if they want to learn more about these Russian media controls to better prepare themselves for... For what's to come, yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would like to pick here just one book. It is a fairly easy read. You do not have to be an expert on Russia or on cybersecurity to enjoy and digest the work. The title is The Red Web, and the authors are Andrei Soldatov and Irina Borogan, who are both journalists living and working in Russia for independent news outlets. The book is in English. I believe it was only published in English. Maybe it was translated to German, maybe Russian. But the first publication was in English, so you know it would definitely be of huge interest and accessible to the English-speaking audience who cares about the topic or would simply like to learn more. And essentially what Soldatov and Borogan are doing is they trace back the current relationship, and I would really like to emphasize that the current relationship between the internet and the status quo in Russia is that of digital dictators and the new online revolutionaries. This is what it is. On the one hand, you have the digital dictators who are attempting to control the internet and Russia's national cyberspace, let's call it that way, and the new online revolutionaries who are attempting to use the mobilizational power of the internet and the fact that you can organize huge rallies and political movements in a completely leaderless, horizontal fashion. So they trace back this relationship actually back to Stalinist times. They show the progression, you know, obviously there was no internet then, but, you know, they show the progression of this relationship up until the present day. And I believe they end with when the events in Ukraine were happening. So it's a fantastic read. It's not too long. Again, very interesting, very easy to read. I believe that anybody who has even a casual interest in the topic should definitely take a look. Their research is substantiated by a wide array of academic and non-academic sources, and it's a really good book. So this would be my first stop if I were somebody who was interested in learning more about this.
That book sounds really interesting. And for our final question, I was wondering, do you have any advice for students who might be thinking about doing a senior honors thesis, like what you did for this research?
Yes, I do. For one thing, I would say that students shouldn't feel discouraged from taking on a serious study if they are not 100% sure about what exactly their thesis will be about. And, you know, to shamelessly use myself as an example here, I started my senior thesis doing research on traditional media in Russia. Newspapers and television, which was already sort of state-controlled even in 2011. And then, you know, as I came across these interesting news articles and papers about the internet, I decided to change my research focus, talk to my supervisor about it, and, you know, it's all worked out from there. So I would say that it's very important to, you know, obviously it's good to know what you want to write about, but it's important to keep an open mind. You know, you might come across something that will make you reconsider certain things. And in general, to be a good academic, to be a good researcher, you need to free yourself from confirmation bias and be open-minded. You know, don't just see things that agree with your preconceived, you know, imagination of what you want to write your research on. If you see something curious, you know, give it a chance. You know, experiment with stuff. You know, it is definitely time-consuming, and there is other courses usually that people have to do while doing a senior thesis, but I think it's very rewarding. You know, people could publish their theses, you know, maybe could take it further, you know, would make a great writing sample for graduate school. I would definitely encourage all interested students, you know, to do a senior thesis or at least an independent study or any kind of equivalent of that. But the main advice would be, yes, to keep an open mind as they go with their research and, you know, just to be bold and brave with it. Ask big questions, back yourself with good research, and think, you know, that's how I believe good papers and, you know, good research is born.
And with that, I believe that this brings us to the end of our discussion here. Thank you, Ilya, for coming in and giving us this really long and detailed talk about his fascinating senior thesis topic. Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah. Benson, again, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor, you know, to be here. And I think that this topic is really something that we should be looking out for in the weeks, months, and years to come. This stuff is happening, you know, on a daily and monthly basis. So, you know, keep your eyes open, and, you know, I'm convinced that more fascinating developments on this front will be happening soon. But yeah, on that note, thank you very much, and, you know, I appreciate you having me here for such an interesting and fruitful discussion.
Thank you.
This concludes the final part of the interview series. Thank you for listening.